In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You are a disciple of Jesus. So it's time to count the cost. What's it going to cost you? Everything in this world. So you've given up revenge and gossip, haven't you? You've given up your worldly possessions, your money, your greed. You've given up seeking the respect of men. You've given up seeking the approval of the world. In fact, the cost of being a disciple of Jesus is declaring the whole world your enemy. It's gaining Satan and the legions of hell as your personal foes. It means despising your own corrupted body, distrusting your own corrupted mind and emotions. It means expecting from your flesh only bile, betrayal, and disappointment. It means being called an outcast, a fool, a bigot. The cost of being a disciple of Jesus is to hate everything that would keep you from him, even if that includes your own family, Jesus says. It means renouncing everything that you would love more than him, even your own life. Now, you all agree with this. You all remember that sacred vow that you made when you joined the church, don't you? Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? You answered yes. You remember that, don't you? So how's that going? How's your missionary zeal? Your steadfast confession in the face of all mockery and doubt? How's your willpower? You know, that iron will that shatters every temptation that Satan flings your way. How's your strength holding up? Do you have enough strength to last the rest of your life? To maintain your purity and your faith day in and day out? Are you going to have enough strength to fight through the demons of doubt who will meet you at death's door? Have you built a tower of righteousness high enough to reach the heavens? Does God's love echo and rebound and fill everything that you do? Do you have the martyr's fiery, unflinching faith that gives thanks and glory to God even as you bleed? Could you face the crucifixion of your flesh even this very hour? It's a severe decree that we hear today. Hate and renounce every earthly thing that does not last. Choose life. Choose blessing. Choose obedience. Choose to be a disciple. But how can I? You ask. How can I choose life? How can I possibly bear my own cross and follow Jesus where he leads if this is what it means? The cost is too high. I can't pay it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the will. I don't have the zeal. I don't have the love. I fear and I doubt and I cling to sin. My knees buckle at the thought of Satan's minions. My mind goes numb as my eyes wander where they should not, and my lips mutter hatred and lies, and my feet dumbly lead me into sin. I can't choose to obey, no matter how much I say I want to. So how can I choose life? I don't even have the strength to lift my eyes to God. How can I possibly bear my cross and follow Jesus? Beloved, know this. No one bears their cross by wearing it as an accessory or hauling it around like so much extra baggage. There's only one reason someone carries his own cross. It's because he's going to die. The cost of being Jesus' disciple is death. To bear your cross is to die with Jesus. The way to heaven, the only way, goes through Golgotha. So in this life, we fight against death. We fight against the powers of hell. The scriptures reveal that we're drowned and we rise again with repentance and confession and faith given from above. You see, the only way out of death is through death. When a man loses his life, he gains it. So we can only go one way that leads to life. The way of the Lord. The way of suffering and sorrow, of frustration and betrayal, of fighting, of prayer. This is the life that we lead as Jesus' disciples. A life like Jesus' own. The disciple is not above his master. Crosses meant for killing must first be borne by the one who is to be killed. It hurts. It's awkward and uncomfortable. The cross can divide friends and co-workers, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives. But we must fight against contentment with sin here. We must resist being comfortable with life in this world, struggle against that suffocating complacency that none of this is really urgent. We have to fight against the lie that it doesn't matter if you believe or not, if you live obediently or not, if you care or not. The only real peace to be had anywhere is in Jesus. And so a peaceful family, apart from a united life in Jesus, is the devil's lie. It's the tempter's seductive, empty prize. It may seem like the only way to peace. It may seem like the only way to live a life in this world free from conflict is to let the devil have his way. But as soon as the fighting stops, as soon as all is quiet and comfortable, we've lost. We've given up and given in. We've joined the ranks of Judas, rejecting Jesus for perceived profit or gain here, trying to save our lives in this world by our own efforts, rather than dying and rising with Jesus by being formed by Good Friday and Easter. So how does that forming happen for a Christian? How are we really formed by that cross, to live a life defined by that cross, to carry that cross and follow Jesus? What happens every week when we drag our poor, miserable, sinful carcasses here before the altar to be killed again? It's when we confess ourselves to be sinners deserving of death. It's when we bear our crosses here to be planted before the throne of God so that we can hear the crucified Jesus say to us, "Yes, you are a sinner." And then hear that same Jesus tell us, "And I forgive you all your sin." At that word of Jesus, you are no longer dead. At that word, you follow Jesus himself through death, through the grave, and into life. So you see, you have faced the crucifixion of your flesh this very hour already. You have confessed your sins and you have been forgiven all of your sins. Your flesh has died. Your evil has died. And you have survived to live forever. To die with Jesus is to live his resurrected life. So the cost of being a disciple is life in Jesus. Remember what Paul says in Colossians. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in faith, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The cost of you being a disciple has been paid. And not by you. Jesus paid for you when he gave you his righteousness at the cross and at the font. You couldn't build a tower to God. So instead of you trying to build up to God, Jesus comes down and builds you yourselves in up as living stones into a living temple of the Lord. Jesus came to us. He came to us as a worthless pile of bricks, bearing in himself the image of a cathedral. So now we are his church. Now we bear his image. We house his glorious presence. And in his presence, no evil can abide. No perversion or lies or greed or hatred. In his presence, there is only good, only life, only forgiveness and healing, only peace and contentment and purpose. Just as you couldn't build the tower to God, neither could you defeat the enemy arrayed against you. So Jesus took the blows for you, and then he destroyed the power that those enemies had over you. You died in his cross, remember? So what's the worst that man can do to you now, except put you to death? And what can death do to you anymore, except just usher you into eternal life and joy? See, this world can't take anything from you that God doesn't give back with more. Satan and his legions may howl and shriek and accuse you of your sin and evil, but that sin has died on Jesus' cross. Hell's rage is vain and empty. Your enemies have no claim on you anymore. They may tear at you, but they can't conquer your Lord. So they cannot conquer you who live in him. So all that's left to do now is to live under the terms of peace declared by the victor, Jesus. What are those terms for you? Receive my life. You received it when you died to sin and rose to Jesus' life in baptism. You're blessed with that life now. You followed your Lord. That makes you a disciple now. And you will follow him still through pain and rejection and even death into resurrection and life unending. That is your life in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.